fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm here again today with Dr. Joey McCoy. We've been talking all week both about his own conversion story, his call to full-time mission in the church right now. To me, he's a living sign of what I'm seeing with many young people around the country, young Catholic people who are coming alive in their faith, radically wanting to respond to the challenges of our time. You know, some are becoming priests, some are becoming religious, some are in their business careers or their jobs, whatever, are just become very active in their faith, wanting to see people come to Christ and inviting to the church. And then others like Joy, laymen and women who also are hearing a call to really give themselves to the direct work of evangelization and mission in the church today. So welcome back, Joey.
Thanks, Peter.
We're talking off air about the importance of talking today about the process of discipleship a little bit, but yeah. It all starts with, as you were saying earlier in the week, encounter, and you referenced the passage here from Ephesians chapter 1. St. Paul's passion in the letter comes out of what he most wants for those he's writing to, and this letter is to us today, to believers, and this is what he most wants for us. Verse 15 and following, so for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that's such a beautiful phrase, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you've been called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so here's the heart of an apostle. What does he most want? When he's before God the Father, what is he begging God for on our behalf?
Yeah.
What's burning in his heart? What does he care most about? Is he saying here, you know, that you can get that vacation home, that you can... you can get that bonus, that you can get all these different things. What is he after? He's after the real gold. He knows what truly matters. He wants us to know Christ the way he's come to know him.
Right.
Then that life-changing, transformational way. Because that produces a hope, a confidence where our life is headed, what it's all about. And the riches of his glory. Here's what I love and I think so important right now is that, I don't have my glasses on, I think it's verse 19 maybe, it says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe? What's the answer to the crisis of our time? What does the church most need right now? It needs to know who Christ is and to experience in our own hearts, in our own being, the immeasurable greatness of his power to accomplish the very thing he sent us to do.
Right.
We have to lay hold of that again.
Right.
I don't meet too many Catholics who know that in their soul.
Right.
With great confidence.
Yeah.
Because as Paul said, the eyes of their hearts have been enlightened. They come to see in the core of their being the majesty, power, and glory of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And as the one who sent us. So.
Right. I mean, it's just, this might be the Himalayas of the New Testament for me.
Yeah.
It's Mount Everest. Like these words are unbelievably beautiful, and praying with them over and over again, they never lose their salt. They never lose their impact. And the one that stood out to me while you were reading is the very last one, the verse 23, where he talks about the Father made Jesus the head over all things for the church, which is his body. And this is like kind of like, okay, what is the church supposed to be? The fullness of him who fills all in all. Do we actually think of the church that way? We're just supposed to be Jesus's embodiment on the earth.
Yeah.
You know?
And that means in the call to discipleship, that means letting go of a lot of other things
yeah.
as being the central reason I get up in the morning or what makes me happy.
Yeah.
As I can line up all these distractions or possessions or rewards or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, I want to be this.
Yeah, right.
If we want to be this, we will be this.
Right.
But yeah. that's the real question. Do yeah. we want to be this?
Yeah, we probably don't.
Yeah.
Which is why we got to keep reading these and, yeah. and let the Holy Spirit impact us. But there's another place in Philippians chapter 3 where Paul's just, you can sense he's trying to agonize with communicating just if you only knew him. If you know, and he's talking about himself here in this in Ephesians 3. And this is where he says, I've counted everything that was of immense value. And he's like, I had it all. I had everything you could ever want. I was the most righteous person you could be. And it didn't mean anything. Yeah. Nothing compared to knowing Jesus. And I love how he ends it, starting with verse 9. So he counts everything as refuse in order that he may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law or based on what I do. How many Catholics think that way? You know, we mainly think that I'm good because of what I have done. It's very easy to slip into that. That I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which is found through faith in Christ. My righteousness comes from what Jesus has done for me. And the only way you can really live that is if you actually have an encounter with him. Through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may, and this is like one of the key like lines of discipleship for me, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is someone who used to have everything. Yeah. And he's like, I don't want any of it.
Yeah.
I just want to know him. It's like, do we know Jesus? Do you understand Jesus to be that excellent? Do we have any kind of sense of who this God-man is? You know, you're like, I want to pull words out of my mouth that I don't have. But it's just like, he yeah. is the one who is.
Yeah.
And we need to meet him. We need to encounter him or else what is the church?
Yeah. I think the terms that Jesus set down for the new relationship that we call becoming a disciple.
Yeah.
What's a disciple? A lifelong learner. Someone's learning. What do we learn? Paul says we learn Christ.
Right.
That's what we learn.
Right.
We learn how to be like him, live like him, walk like him. That's our passion. That's what we're dialed into. And yeah. so everything else in our life becomes subject to that. And until we're willing, now we can't automatically do that overnight, but as John Paul II said, real faith is from the outset an intention in my heart
right.
to be totally and radically committed to him. That's the words of John Paul II. He knows that in that moment, I can't make it all happen. But in my heart, I can have the intention to say, I want to become everything that only you can make me. I'm going to cling to you,
yeah.
and I'm going to trust you to transform me. My job is to keep you first,
yeah.
keep you first every day.
Yeah.
You're the reason I'm alive. You're the reason, you're the purpose of my life, and you're helping me, Lord, bring my attachments, my idols to you that have to be dealt with so that you can be the center, the real thing I worship, the real thing I serve. You
right.
know? So I'll just end with this example, and then I want you to just build on that if you would.
Yeah.
Think about something concrete like this, Joey. It's typical for a guy in his 30s, 40s, 50s in the United States to be totally passionate about his sports team, let's
right.
say, or
right.
or multiple sports teams that he's right. got. He lives a cycle of sports teams during the year.
Yeah.
And he That's spends money, he spends enormous amount of time, enormous amount of energy. He loves it. He talks about them to people all the time. He's constantly engaging in conversations, you know, about his team, about key players, about plays that were made.
Yeah.
And it really fills his heart and fills his life. And it's because he needs a distraction, you know, in
right.
life. And,
right.
and it makes him happy.
Yeah.
And so he wants to do that. So the thing that's making him happy, he talks about all the time. He's 50 and he wears a football jersey, you know, with a guy's name on the back, you know, a 22-year-old guy's name yeah, on the right. back, you know. And he's excited. He's passionate. Well, there's a little disproportion there. The same guy may never say a word about Christ, get to church on occasion.
Yeah.
Especially on a Sunday, if there's an early ball game, he's probably not going, right?
Yeah.
So all that, what you see is he's actually living for something else. He's looking for something else to make him happy.
Yeah.
And he's communicating it freely to people regularly and giving himself to a time, talent, treasure, right?
Yeah.
That's an idol.
Oh, totally.
It becomes an idol, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no room for God in it. It's not putting first things first. It's putting secondary and tertiary things first. That's a real example of a very normal situation in life that Jesus wants to confront.
Right. And we can live that way and still like, so say that same guy goes to church every Sunday, you'd probably be considered a good Catholic.
Yeah.
You know? That shows how off our conception of what we're measuring and what we're valuing is.
Yeah. It's like, where's his heart?
Yeah,
where's
right.
his heart? What does he love?
Which is all Jesus cares about.
Yeah, what do you love?
What do you love?
Yeah,
that's what Augustine said, right? In the end, you are what you love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe the next show we can get into like the process of discipleship or something like that, because we only have a little bit of time left in this show. But definitely the sense of what we've been talking about in this show, and just we have to get back to reading the New Testament, I think, over and over and over again.
Biblical
literacy is huge. We have to know what were these guys, even just from a natural standpoint, what was Paul's beating heart? What was Peter's beating heart? What was James's beating heart? Because these are the guys who actually knew Jesus. These are some of our best living examples, right? I guess they're dead, but this is actually what changed everything for me, probably. Or it changed a lot of things for me, is when I actually got to a place where I really could read the Bible every day. And wanted to read the Bible every day, all of a sudden, we talk about knowing Christ and meeting Jesus, all of a sudden, that was happening. Like St. Jerome says, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. It's just so true.
And so back to a disciple's a learner, and I want to learn Christ.
And how do you do that? You read about his life.
Yeah.
It's immensely dense and thick and juicy, and just keep reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of a sudden, you come to like, oh my God, Jesus, you are real. You are. I started to see who you are. The eyes of your heart to get enlightened,
because you're not reading that word on your own. I mean, that's
right,
a
exactly.
living word. It's alive.
Right.
And what do we mean? It's alive. It's animated by the Holy Spirit. It's inspired word.
Right.
Of God. And Pope Benedict said, when you read that, the Holy Spirit reveals to you Jesus, who speaks to you in every page.
Right.
So if you're listening, you say, okay, I want to get to know him. Start there.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah.
Just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep reading them and ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, please show me what I don't know. Lift the veil from my eyes. Help me know Christ. Help me learn Christ.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Right now, he doesn't mean that much to me. Right now, I don't find him very compelling. Now, I don't like being a Catholic. I'm thinking of leaving the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, first seek him. Seek first the kingdom, who is the king himself.
Right.
Seek first the king.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if I have much to add to that.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, very good. Friends, we just have a few seconds left on the program. Maybe we could end with a prayer today. Thank you so much for listening. We know the Lord's reaching out to you through these programs, and we're just asking for his blessing on your life today. Whoever you are, wherever you are listening to me, the Lord Jesus bless you. May God our Father shed his light into your heart so you can see through the power of the Holy Spirit the glory and the majesty, the beauty, the love, the mercy of Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price, the precious gift of the Father. He's given to you his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. God bless you, friend. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.